Amen. That was very good. It's one of my mom's songs that she sang for us growing up. So every time I hear a song that my mom sang growing up, as I was growing up, I always remind me of my mom and appreciate that Juanita very much. I thought it was her playing on the guitar. It sounded fake to me. I'm not sure that wasn't a soundtrack. For the Moses, did you have a CD on back there? That was good. No, I'm just messing with her. Amen. Turning, if you would, in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we just want to look at one of the parts of the fruit of the Spirit and think about faith tonight. Maybe not faith in the way that we normally preach it, and we understand that it's by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, by believing, having faith in Him and the works that He performed while here on earth, His death, burial, and resurrection, that we have everlasting life. But one of the fruit of the Spirit is faith. And as you look at the definition of this particular word, we think about faithfulness. Faithfulness. The Bible in Hebrews says, without faith it is impossible to please God. We have to have faith as Christians. We have to exercise that faith. And we do, most of us do, on a daily basis. So we think about faith, we have various scriptures we can turn to. But let's look real quick here at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit, and notice it's singular, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Again, I'm just going to kind of hone in on that part of the fruit of the Spirit concerning faith or faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord, bless the reading of Your Word tonight. We do pray as we think about faith that You would again impress upon our hearts the importance of the subject and just the importance of trusting in You in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, there are many verses we could turn to. I'd like to turn to a couple of them at the very beginning. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So Paul says here, hey, I think Paul wrote Hebrews. Think about Jesus Christ. Think about His profession. He was our high priest. It says, who was faithful, verse 2, who was faithful to Him that appointed Him. Who's that? God. God appointed Him our high priest. Everybody with me? And He was faithful to His Father. He did that which is always, that would please the Father. And He was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Boy, can that be said of us? Think about Moses for a second. Moses was faithful, faithful in all his house. I want the Lord to say to me one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I'm going to get right to the end of the message and give you one thing. Again, God put us in the game, but it's not our job to keep score. In other words, life is up and down. I mean, He gave us that great illustration of the Old Testament, which is the nation of Israel. I'm still amazed how this is the Old Testament, a Jewish book, and the Jews allowed that thing to come down through time because it really is a pretty negative picture of the Jews and what they did, isn't it? I mean, would you not agree that most of the Old Testament's pretty doesn't reflect good upon the Jew? But yet it's left there. Why is it left there? Well, we said it Sunday. Romans chapter 15, 1 Corinthians tells us also that it was left there for our example. That they were our example. And so as we see in the book of Judges, seven times in the book of Judges, you have the nation of Israel up on a mountaintop and then they start their idolatry and they start serving other gods. They start going after other, and then down they go. And then God allows someone to come in and another country to take them into bondage. Seven times, up and down, up and down, up and down. Again, we see that in our own lives. Up and down, hills and valleys. But listen, we are in the game. We started the game when we accepted Christ as our Savior, but it's the Lord who keeps the score. Well, it's not our job. In other words, whether our life sends us bad things or good things, that's up to God. And whether or not it's a touchdown or a field goal, that's up to the Lord. Is that right? I mean, he's in charge of defense. I'm trying to give football analogies here. I mean, He's in charge. And so He absolutely. So our job as Christians is simply to be faithful, no matter what the circumstances is around us, no matter what they are around us. Our job is to be faithful, to remain faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2, the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in a steward," and that's what we are stewards, "that a man," and that would be mankind, both men and women, "be found faithful." It's required of us that we be found faithful. Required as Christians, as stewards, as caretakers of what God has given us, both talents, our time, our treasure. It is our job to be faithful with those things. If God's given you a talent, you ought to use it for Him and be faithful using that talent for Him. Everybody's got something, some kind of talent. God has given us all time, and we ought to be faithful with that time. And we ought to be faithful with the possessions that God has given us. But it's required of a steward that he be found faithful. This word faithful means steadfast. Steadfast, loyal, accurate, true to the original. It means loyalty and trustworthiness. And I've got many other scriptures here, but faithful. We are trusting Him, putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are loyal to Him. If you're faithful to Him, then you're loyal to Him. Faithfulness is only possible because of faith. Faith. In other words, our trusting response to God in Jesus Christ. In other words, faithfulness is the product of faith. In other words, I have faith in knowing that God is in control of my life because He said He is. Right? Romans chapter 8, He works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So we know that He's in control of our lives, that He directs our lives, that He brings the good with the bad. Our job, again, is to be faithful. And it's faith that enables us to be faithful. In other words, we have faith believing that God always works things together for our good. I remind my kids every once in a while, and I reminded Brennan of this yesterday. I looked him in the eyeball and I said, "Do you believe I have your best interest in mind?" And he said yes, even there at that point, as we were leaving the Calvary Boys Ranch. "Do you believe I have your best interest in mind?" "Yes, I believe that." Now, he didn't like it, but he believed it. And sometimes I don't like what the Lord does to me, but I absolutely believe, without a shadow of a doubt, not one doubt, that God has my best interest in mind. Not just some of the time, but all of the time. And whether that's going through a financial crisis in my life, or going through death in the family, or going through family issues, whatever it may be, I absolutely know that God has my best interest in mind. And we trust in Him and are loyal to Him and are faithful to Him because of our faith. It's the same faith we think of a little child, that a little child has for his or her parents. I mean, just absolutely trusting in that mama or daddy and putting themselves without worry or concern into their care. Right? I mean, I hope my kids lay down their head at night, and I believe they do, and they don't worry about a thing. Right? I mean, Micah's 9 years old. He doesn't come into my room and say, "Daddy, what are we eating for breakfast in the morning? I didn't see nothing in the whatever that's called." I was going to say covers, but you guys make fun of me for saying country stuff. So, in the pantry. Well, y'all made fun of me for a week about saying one holer, so I was just trying to come up with a better word. But Micah, 9 years old, doesn't come in and ask necessarily what we're going to eat in the morning. He may ask what mama's going to fix, but he doesn't ever ask, "Are we going to eat in the morning?" Right? He don't have a worry. He goes in, flips the lights on, and then we discipline them if they don't turn the lights off, right? They take it for granted, but our kids don't have to worry. And isn't it great that we still live in a great nation where they don't have to, right? I mean, it's awesome, but the kid puts their faith in their parents and absolutely does so without worry or concern. so should we put our lives into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to, by faith, see what God can do for us and not worry and be concerned. I love that little children's song, "Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas, rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray?" And as Christians, we shouldn't worry. We do, but we shouldn't, because we know our Heavenly Father has His hands on us and His hands caring for us. And it's by faith that we are faithful to Him, knowing that He will take care of us, knowing that He has our best interest in mind all the time. And notice my emphasis on all the time. I've heard individuals say, "Well, preacher, you know, this and this happened and that happened. And I know God has worked in my life in this situation, that situation. But why did He do this?" Well, and I don't think it's necessarily wrong to ask why. But I always say, why ask why when you know who? I mean, He's in charge. Our faith should be in God's faithfulness. That's just what I've been saying. Our faith should be in God's faithfulness. And there's several scriptures we could turn to on this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll just read one of the verses for lack of time. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." God is faithful. Because our faith is in God's faithfulness, we can be faithful in word and in deed, relying upon Him. Relying upon Him and His ability to disciple us. We say all the time that He's conforming us into the image of His Son. And He's doing so by teaching us, by using the Word of God as we read it, by the family devotional life that we have, by the prayer life we have, and then by the church that God has placed us in, and the Sunday school class we're in, by the pastor that preaches, by all these other areas, God is teaching us and giving to us the Word of God that we need to grow our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of God that brings faith. He's using trials and other areas to grow our faith as well, and giving us little trials and working into the big trials. And I mean, God is constantly working on us and using the Word. I use the Word discipling us, bringing us along, growing us as His children, bringing us from being babes in Christ to bringing us into adulthood. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24, the Bible says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." Everywhere God leads us, He feeds us. And wherever God calls you, whatever God calls you into, God will take care of you. Always. And God is faithful. He always keeps His Word. Hebrews tells us He cannot lie. He never breaks a promise. Aren't you glad for the great promises of God? And I know we mention that a lot, but absolutely. As I was preaching the funeral Monday and studying for it and putting that together, I was again reminded of that grace that we have, not just for salvation and not just for, again, getting wonderful to go to heaven, God's unmerited favor. But the grace God gives us and the power He does to live the life that we have. Grace is not just for salvation. Grace is for living. And it's grace that empowers us to go throughout this life. And once you experience it, it's wonderful. I almost preached on peace tonight. I preach to myself, right? Faithfulness and peace. You know, God gives that peace that passes all understanding. And absolutely gives us grace in our time of need. Remember the old, we had a group in one time that sang a song called "Grace One More Time." There's no Johnny Flanagan song. "Here comes Jesus with His grace again, just about the time I need it, every time." Okay. I think I find. Anyway, one preacher said, "Is he saying, 'Here comes Jesus with His trash can?'" It kind of sounded like, anyway, that's a joke. I stink at jokes. But "here comes Jesus with His grace again," when? Just about the time I need it. Just the time I need it. That grace that God provides for us. Why? Because He always keeps His promises. We should be faithful to God. Again, it's faith that allows us to be faithful to God. Faithfulness in God allows us to be faithful to Him. We must be faithful to God. How? Practically speaking, we must be faithful to Him in service. We think about the steward there in Matthew 25, and the story of the steward, and you, again, most of us heard it many times. Matthew chapter 25, and verse 14, says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into far country who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, another 2, another 1, to every one man according to his," what? His ability. Can I tell you, God's given you ability. God's given you a gift. Every man according to his, every woman according to their ability. And there he says, "And then he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. The one who had 2 made another 2 talents. And a long time after the Lord was servant cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents. And Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto them, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And in verse 22, he says also that he had received 2 talents, came and said, "Lord," and you know the story. His Lord said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Verse 24 says, "Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawn, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. And the Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers," in other words, get it with interest, "than at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable serpent into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I absolutely believe we ought to be faithful to God in our service to Him. Absolutely. And that one day we will stand and give an account for what we've done. And one day we will give a reckoning of those accounts. And He'll either say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," or there'll be a punishment as well. You say, "Well, that weeping and gnashing teeth, is that hell?" I don't know. It's a good question. I think there's going to be a little sadness in heaven for those who works burn up with wood, hay, and stubble. Absolutely. Why would He take the rewards away if there's not going to be some emotional attachment to it? And that's for another message. We ought to be faithful in our service to Him. He said to those first 2 servants, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I think about some here in the auditorium who've taught Sunday school for over 20 years. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. It's not about how you start the race necessarily, it's how you finish the race. Finish the race. We should be faithful in our service. We should be faithful in our obedience to Him. Be obedient to Him. Absolutely. Again, many passages we could turn to. But He says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." We ought to be obedient to Him and to His Word. We ought to be faithful to our service to Him. We ought to be faithful in our obedience to Him. We ought to be faithful to the gospel. I can already tell you that I don't believe I could stand before God today and say that in the last 36 years, fixing to be 37, that I haven't at some time failed in giving the gospel to someone whom the Holy Spirit touched my heart about. I do believe one day I'll give an account for that. I pray that God would give me another chance, or that someone else has had the opportunity to lead that individual to the Lord. But imagine Paul saying that he was guilty, he was free of the guilt of all men. Isn't that amazing? We need to be about the Father's business. Again, Jesus did those things which always pleased the Father. And we ought to be about the Father's business. Father's business about reaching people for Jesus Christ. About winning the lost. And whether it's in your Sunday school class, whether it's in children's church, or whether it's with your next door neighbor, we ought to be faithful in giving the gospel out to someone. I was reminded this week again, as I was reading a certain book, and the question came up, when's the last time you led somebody to the Lord? When's the last time you gave the gospel and led somebody to Jesus Christ? When's the last time? I'm not talking about in a Sunday school class or necessarily here at the altar. I'm talking about a co-worker, you know, a friend, somebody outside these doors. And that speaks to me, Raleigh, because we can talk about one of the things that really encouraged me this week, and I'll say it because she's being discipled right now, is Danielle Blake. Danielle Blake, me and my wife had the opportunity to go into her home and lead her to the Lord, I don't know, probably a year and a half ago, and her husband and them, you've seen them kind of back and forth, but they've stuck it out, hadn't they? Isn't it amazing? And if she was in here, I'd be saying the same thing. And a few, 3 or 4 months ago, I went to her and said, hey, would you like to be a part of the discipleship on Wednesday night? She's a new Christian still. And she said, well, you know, got to get kids this and that and this. But I just love here about 4 or 5 weeks ago, she came to me and said, I would like to. I said, well, I think we got the lady just for you, Miss Fiesler. I said, we'll put Miss Fiesler with you. And Brother Stone worked all this out. I'm acting like I did all the work. Brother Stone does it all. And I said, Brother Stone, and I emailed her back. I said, Brother Stone will set you up. And he put her with Miss Fiesler. And man, now they're up. They're somewhere in here in the building. Isn't that good? You know, somebody that you lead to the Lord, somebody you have worked with. I was thinking, again, in the next couple of months, I'm going to get the opportunity to do 2 weddings of families that I've worked on. And just amazing. You get to see them come, and one of them's being discipled right now. It's just awesome. I can't describe for you how that feels. And yes, not everybody stays with it. Not everybody. But boy, just the ones that do, it's just the feeling like I can't describe when you lead somebody to the Lord, see them baptized, and then see them discipled, and see them begin to do other things. And so be faithful in the Lord. Some of you have experienced this many times. We ought to be faithful in our service, faithful in our obedience, faithful to the gospel. And then I think, lastly, we ought to be faithful to our fellow man. By that I mean, we ought to be truthful in our words. We ought to be men and ladies of character. We ought to be just, and just means fair. We ought to be fair in our actions with others. We ought to be steadfast. And by steadfastness, we mean, you know, show character and be on time and hardworking in our jobs and in these areas. In other words, be faithful to all that life requires of you. Do as unto the Lord, the Bible says. And whether it's working in a Whataburger, doesn't that sound good right now? Big old Whataburger. Or whether it's working at Lockheed or building homes or construction or whatever it is, teaching at school, be faithful in whatever God gives you. Be faithful in your home as a mom and a dad. Be faithful at work as the world is watching you. And then I just encourage you again, be faithful at church. Why do you serve? Well, serve because of the pastor, or serve because of the associate pastor, or because of the deacons. We serve because of the Lord. Not teaching a Sunday school class because you're serving the pastor, you're serving the Lord. Right? I hope you're here with that attitude. I'm here. I want to come and hear the preaching of the word of the Lord. I want to come and be faithful and serve the Lord. I was reminded again that life, true Christians, life cannot be a life of fulfillment without service and faithfulness to the Lord. Absolutely. Again, I remind you that God called us to play the game, but not to keep the score. You do not know what lies beyond the bend. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen when you wake up in the morning. You don't know what's going to happen like we did 4 weeks ago and what came to fruition yesterday. You don't know those things. All you can do is place yourself in the hands of the Lord and know that no matter what comes in your life, that He is going to do what's best for you. And I wish we could do better at laying our head down and not worrying about it. And we need to pray the Lord. You know, the person there in the Bible says, Lord, help my faith. Increase my faith. And I think when you do, worry plagues you and you can't sleep at night, or troubles surround you and you feel like you're drowning in the deep waters of despair, I think we ought to go to God and say, Lord, increase my faith. Because it's faith that's going to enable us to be faithful. You can't be faithful without faith. Faith in the Lord, no matter what is going on in your life. Lord, we thank You today for Your love. Lord, we thank You for this church and for the many who have remained faithful. God, what a blessing it was to hear of all the sweet words that were said about Miss Frances Neal and her faithfulness and how she used to teach Sunday school and all the church secretary and all the things that she's done in the past. Lord, we thank You that she was faithful to the end. Lord, help us to follow in her steps. Lord, we're glad that You are faithful to us. We're privileged to be children of God. And we ask, Lord, that You would help us and give us faith we need to be faithful in everything we do. In Jesus' name.